Shank Baggily. Shank Baggily. Shank Baggily. Hello and welcome to Shatbaggily, an old Lincolnshire adjective to describe absolutely anything loose and disorderly, which sums up this podcast and this Lincolnshire lass quite nicely, as I do tend to go off on a tangent every so often. In a moment, we'll hear which toys are sure to make Santa's list this year as we chat to a gentleman who has run a toy shop for 37 years. And the interview I promised, and a must if you are a fan of the Great British Bake Off, as we meet Saku, who is a contestant on the series that has just finished. First though, with it being episode 26, here are a few other things with the same number. Bones in the human foot. Oscars won by Walt Disney more than any other person. And estimated percentage of the land farmed organically in Liechtenstein, the largest area percentage-wise of any country in the world. Visited Liechtenstein, gosh, many, many years ago, and apparently it's the world leader in the production of dentures as well. Things you learn. So I hope you're doing okay wherever you are in the world. Stir Up Sunday was last weekend, made our Christmas puddings. And if you follow Shatbaggily on Instagram and Facebook, you may have seen I posted a few pictures and videos of me doing it, ably assisted by Harvey, the Golden Retriever. Also managed to do the Christmas cake. Yes, I am a domestic goddess. Yes. Well, just a word of warning though, if you have a dog, just like grapes, the dried version of them, sultanas, currants, raisins, all poisonous to our four-legged friends. My sister, who recently took on a retriever from Turkey, ended up paying, get ready for this, over £350 in vet bills after Meggie stole and ate a couple of scones. So I guess it was a street dog coming out. So, she didn't stay in. She was had to be made sick. She's all right. She's absolutely fine. My sister said, though, that when she went to have a treat, the lady behind the counter said, "Do you want apple turnovers or fruit scones?" She wishes she had apple turnovers. And never a fruit scone will go over the threshold again. We'll see. Time to meet our first guest. And I know it's not food related, but I say we are loose and disorderly. Just thought it'd be interesting to pop into an independent toy shop, seeing as it's now December. I was in Leominster in Herefordshire on Tuesday of this week, meeting a pal for coffee. I was a little early, so went to say hello to Martin Chadney of Martin's Toy Shop in the town, and also online, chadneystoychest.co.uk. So with online in mind, do people still walk into a toy shop?
Absolutely. People still want to come in and look at the products, handle the products.
Do you still get that buzz, though, of the children? Because, I mean, I remember as a little one going into a toy shop and even coming into your toy shop as an adult.
Yes.
It's just lovely.
Oh, absolutely wonderful. They come in with their parents or grandparents and look at the toys and their eyes light up, you know, and they look at what they want, or they come in with their Christmas wish list and show the parents or grandparents what they're looking for, and can you please send that to Santa for us? You know, it's great. You know,
how long have you been running, you and Annie, the toy shop?
We've been running for 37 years, and next April we'll be celebrating starting our 38th in April.
Gosh, yeah. Did you ever think?
No, I didn't. Didn't dare to think. No, I didn't know, to be honest with you. You know, it was always a hope that we'd be moderately successful and keep going, but we never envisaged still being here 37 years later, you know. And we've stayed in West Street all this time as well. We've moved shop. We've had at one point in the mid-90s, and Hanny decided we'd do dolls houses as well, so we then had two shops. For about 6 years we had number 26 West Street and number 35 further on up. But when Mr. and Mrs. Skelton retired from doing the televisions here, we had the opportunity to have to rent this shop off them and move both our shops into one.
Now, how long ago was this open? Because I think I opened this for you, didn't I, officially?
Yes, you did, dear. You came and opened it. That would have been February 2010.
No.
Yeah, 2010 in the February, that would have been.
That's a long time. I haven't
realized. So we're 23 years now.
Jeez. Jeez. Yeah.
Oh, no, well. Sorry, 13 years. 13. Sorry, 13 years in here now. Yeah.
Still a happy girl feeling quite old, though, this morning. So, toys.
Yeah.
Have they changed much over the years? I know when we were growing up, everything was sort of... Was it a bit more substantial? I don't know.
No, I think, to be honest with you, the toy industry keeps... I know it keeps reinventing itself, but the old classics are always there. I mean, Lego is still number one. Playmobil, I would say number two. There's been a big resurgence in Sylvanian families. When we first opened our girls' shop for Annie, Sylvanian families hadn't been going too long then, and we did a lot of Sylvanian then, and of course those now are collectible classics. But Sylvanian is coming back to the fore big time at the moment.
Barbie with the film, has that increased?
We've got Barbie, yes, of course. Barbie's a good one. And as you say, with the film they brought out, that's made that very popular again. It's come to the fore. Over the last 4 to 5 years, board games have, every year on year, have increased in their popularity. Like the classics like Monopoly. Like, we've very, very pleased last year that Monopoly decided to do a Herefordshire version. There's so many versions of Monopoly now. I think there's something like 36 odd versions of Monopoly now.
Gosh.
People still like the classic original one, obviously. And all these standard board games like Snakes and Ladders, Cluedo,
Draughts, still going strong.
Amazingly popular. Hand puppets have really come back to the fore again. People doing puppetry with their children. I think the lockdown caused that. I think because everybody was stuck at home and they had to entertain the children at home, puppetry has come back into it again. Really big time.
So you as a shopkeeper have to go with the trends. You've got always finger on the pulse, but as I'm looking round, really not a lot's changed since
not
I was
really.
Little.
No, no.
But what are the trends, for want of a better word, the big ones for this Christmas?
I would say Lego number one. Always Lego number one. That's always number one. Yeah, to be honest with you.
You do know my husband was a UK Lego champion and still is because
really?
He knows. Yeah.
Didn't know that, Katie.
Yeah.
No, that's fantastic. No.
He's course, 65, Martin.
Yeah, of course, construction kits like Meccano, Airfix, they're still very popular. In the lockdown, the puzzles saved everybody's sanity, I think, you know, jigsaw puzzles.
What about you and Annie? Does this keep you young? Working with toys.
Yeah, I think so. Well, we don't have holidays. We're always in the so we're always, it's shop and home for us. So it is there. It's with us 24/7, the shop, you know. I mean,
what's going to happen when you two do finally retire?
Well, that's it, isn't it? I mean, we'd like to think that at some point somebody would like to take it on and carry on where we've left off, but whether they do. I mean, our son's got his own business very successfully. He's doing very, very well, bless him. It is one of those industries where there's not enough new blood coming into it at the moment, you know. Mm. It's all us older ones, I'm afraid, that are keeping them going at the minute, I think. But yeah, there are some, but not enough. It'd be nice to see a lot more new blood coming into the industry, because it is a wonderful industry, and it needs to be there for the next generations, doesn't it, you know.
Definitely does, Martin. Martin Chadney from Martin's in Leominster, Herefordshire, and online too. I'll pop all the details onto Shep Bagley's Facebook and Instagram pages. Thanks to Martin and Annie. And the son he mentioned is John. And he himself runs two gift shops in Worcestershire called Mooch. So reckon it must be in the blood. I have to say, it was lovely to see so many customers coming and going there whilst I was there. And here's to their 38th year and counting. Thank you as always for getting in touch. Lovely messages following the renaturalisation project on last week's episode, and also Lizzie and her vegan mince pies using a little piece of marzipan in each one. Also heard from Prudence State, who was a guest a few weeks ago now. Prudence is a food artist for clients all around the world, and if you recall, she was working on a project at the time but couldn't divulge who or what it was. Well, I can now tell you, it was the world's tallest building, the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, made out of Walker's shortbread, and is currently on display at Dubai Airport if you happen to be passing. Right then, time for the long-awaited chat with Saku from the Great British Bake Off that has just finished. I wanted to release it last week, but Love Productions said not until the final had been shown. I know, little old Shatbagley making waves. I met Saku in Hereford for a coffee a couple of weeks ago, and because I knew she was still under contract with the show, I wasn't able to ask questions about her fellow contestants or indeed too much about the goings-on at all. Having said that, we find out quite a bit about her life in Sri Lanka, family now, and she answered some of the questions you sent me. A lovely lady who all of a sudden has been thrust into the limelight, so it must feel very strange to have people who you don't know coming up, wanting to say hello, and on some occasions, wanting to hug you.
It is, because I'm a very quiet person in public. After the bake-off, people are starting to recognize me and giving me hugs, and they wanted to have a little chat with me. It is kind of lovely. At the moment, I'm enjoying that.
But you say wanted to talk to you and hug you. This is, hang on. Once upon a time, before bake-off, you were just doing your own thing.
Exactly. It was very quiet. I just come to the town and do my things and going home. But now I need to allow extra time.
Good grief. So, take us back, because we've sort of fallen in love with you on the programme. Oh. But home originally Sri Lanka. Because I read somewhere, was it 18 before you had your oven? So very traditional cooking methods at home.
We had this gas hob and fire hobs and all this. But we didn't have an oven. The first time I had the oven, my mum bought oven when I just finished my GCSEs. GCSEs was little late because of the civil war in the country at that time. So I did my GCSEs when I was 17. So after the exam, she bought me the oven and I did kind of baking.
So what were you wanting to do? What was little Saku hoping for?
I really wanted to go to medicine. That was my aim. And I miss going to medical college by 5 marks.
Oh, no.
Yes, it's heartbreaking. Everything in the vicinity, for everything, and then it disappears.
Oh. So where does this medicine come from? With parents involved in medicine, relatives?
Not really. My mum's a graduate teacher. My dad's an engineer. And I think it was my passion to go into medicine, just help people.
And would you wanted to be a doctor?
Yes, I wanted to be a doctor.
So that comes through the people side, because you love people, don't you?
I love people. Yes, I love helping people and I love talking to people.
The only thing is thinking about it, Saku, if you'd been a doctor, you'd have been probably a very good one, but your waiting times would have been horrendous because you'd have just kept chatting.
I know. I know, but in professional kind of setting, I will be more professional, not chatting, yes.
No. And are you sure it just wasn't the white coat that attracted you?
Not only the white coat, the stethoscope and the helping side of people, just, yes.
They say it's never too late. Had you closed that thought a long time ago?
No, I think my time is gone and now it is too late, because I brought up my little kids with my husband in a new country, strange country. It is quite different to Sri Lanka. So it was a kind of full-time job. Then when my little boy was 2.5 years old, I went back to work. So I did since I missed going to medical college, I went to do agriculture in Sri Lanka. So my first degree is in agriculture. I specialized in agricultural economics. So that is my field. I went back to this research job in the council. It is more kind of social research. And then I did a postgraduate diploma in public health informatics, that is statistic-based degree. And this job involves those. So I thought now it's my life, not going back to medicine, not to pursue that dream.
Let's just take us back a bit. And we have something in common, because I started in agriculture.
Really?
Yeah, dairy farming.
That's lovely, because one of the modules when we were in second year, I think animal husbandry, and the third year it is basically practical based. We live in a farm, that is our sub-campus, doing all these growing and rearing animal and all this. Oh, that is, I quite like that life. Yeah. That was the most interesting part of my degree. Agriculture, yes.
So we're in Sri Lanka at the moment. How old were you when you came to the UK? And may I ask why?
Yeah, that's fine. I moved here in 2003. So I was, yes, 20 years, exactly 20 years ago. And I was 31 years old because my husband came for his postgraduates to England. So he did his postgraduate in England and I followed him. No point, I'm staying there without my husband. So our little girl, yes, we came here to join with him. And then he got a good job. He decided to settle down. So here I am.
And in Hereford as well. So we are, I guess, in the Midlands, probably half an hour, 40 minutes from Birmingham. A lot of people think it's Hertfordshire, don't they?
That's the, exactly. That always. Yes, yes. When I'm doing my job, some people asking for Hertfordshire data from us. No, this is Herefordshire.
But a very rural county.
But it is very beautiful.
Yes, oh, it is.
It is beautiful, and it is, I think this is the best place to bring up children. We don't have, even though we don't have grammar schools and all these high-end schools, this is the best place. I am quite happy. We made the right choice because of my husband's work. We moved to Hereford and settled down. I am really happy here. I brought my kids. We brought our kids very well in Herefordshire. It's a lovely place.
Please have some of your coffee, otherwise it's going to be a bit chilly. I mean, we can just
they
dip
didn't
in and
give
out.
Me a.
So, what does hubby do?
He's an engineer. Most of the time, he's doing now research. He works in pharmaceutical packaging company. Yeah.
And the children are grown up now.
Yes, one will be 22 in next week. Other one turned 18 last week.
So, they're grown up, hubby's settled in his job, you're enjoying your job.
Yeah.
You'd obviously watched The Great British Bake Off.
Yes.
How many years have you been watching?
Oh, I think I only missed the first season thereafter because everybody was talking about in the office about this great baking show. And since the second season I started to watch, that is almost 13 series, isn't it? Yeah.
So, at any time watching this previously, had you applied or was it the first time?
At the beginning, no, definitely not because I don't know anything about baking. Then over the years, I was watching. I'm quite interested when I had time because kids were growing up and then I had some time for myself. Definitely during the lockdown, we had all our time to ourselves and I started baking. I did little bits at the beginning, but most of this practicing done in lockdown. So then I thought, yes, I'll give it a go.
And it was just, had it ever crossed your mind before?
Last year I applied. I only came to the Zoom audition. Before that, no, I didn't have any idea that I can do something like that.
So the... You got on, that's the thing.
Yes.
And then you're now going to be on the programme. You have to keep it top secret, I know that.
Yes.
Obviously you have to tell the family, otherwise they'll think you're having an affair.
Yeah, family and my manager. She's a most supportive manager that anybody can have. She's one of my referees, so I told her and I need to tell her because to get annual leave. Yes. And a family and my manager Charlotte and a few other. Not many. Two other friends knew that because I wanted to use them as taste testers.
Oh, how awful for them.
So at this one complained that she had a bigger waist size now.
So had you been taking bakes into the office at all before this time?
Before that, before lockdown. Since lockdown, mainly we are working from home. Before lockdown, the little bakes that I did, I took to the office. They quite liked it. Yeah. Yes. And after the lockdown, not many chances. Once a while we went to my office, but I shared my bags with them.
So the tasters have been told, the manager's been told, yes. Your family's been told. Yeah. We are, well, normally filming sort of starts spring, summer. When was the, what month was it?
It was end of April. Filming started.
Also quite warm, because we had a warm spell, didn't we? Bearing in mind you're in a field in a tent.
It was beautiful. That place is beautiful, and we had lovely weather, and I was kind of fortunate enough to be in that place.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful place.
Do you remember the feeling when you were driven up first of all in, I'm guessing, a minibus, and you saw the top of the tent for the first time?
It was so exciting. I couldn't believe my eyes, because we see this big white tent in the TV screen, not in real life. It was very exciting. I was kind of, I said, I'm really lucky enough to see in my eyes. At the same time, I was quite nervous.
And also, by this time, you know you can only take the same clothes every time you're recording. I mean, that's the thing.
I know, same clothes over the weekend. But I think we had clean aprons on Sunday.
So you're in the tent. Is it bigger than you imagined or smaller?
It is kind of bigger than what I imagined. Because the things that we see in the television screen is quite small, and there is a part behind the tent, all this washing up and everything done, where the producers and everybody sits. Yes.
There's a lot of people involved, isn't there?
There were loads of people in the tent, yes.
And the where you are, because we've talked about this before with Bake Off folk, mm-hmm. the when you put something down, it's taken away, and it's all kept nice and tidy for you, and you probably wanted that to be at home as well, didn't you?
I know, I wish somebody's there to clean up at home. But having said that, my daughter, my son and my husband, they really helped me. Most of my time, I did the cleaning with my daughter. Oh, she was a superstar.
Because you have to do all the bakes all throughout the season. You have to try. You have to submit your own recipes.
Yeah.
A real twist with your homeland, Sri Lanka, that had to come in, didn't it?
Definitely. Sri Lanka is always in my heart. I can't forget that. Still, my parents are there. And we can't forget our roots, isn't it? The first taste that we got used to that, it is with you forever. Yes, so I really like to include my flavors, Sri Lankan flavors, into my baking, and I wanted to take it to the baking world for others to enjoy as well.
And it came good. A lot of people fell in love with you. People were saying you were the people's champion, weren't you? Which is really nice, but incredibly... Well, daunting, really, because you say you're a quiet soul, you work for Herefordshire Council, and then all of a sudden the nation's saying all these wonderful things.
I know, it's really heartwarming. It brought tears to my eyes when I see all these comments coming across the world. Mm. It is really heartwarming. I love that.
So, you had to leave, and a lot of people are saying you shouldn't have done, but there we are. Can't do anything about it. We can't go back. What... Obviously, again, we're not allowed to say too much because it's current season. But where do you see yourself going? Are you going to stay doing what you do, or would you like to do something more in the baking world?
I would love to do more in the baking world. I am keeping all my options open, because still I don't know exactly what I'm doing at the moment, doing my job. But I definitely would love to do more baking and going from there. Keep my options open.
Certainly. But a nice group of people. You're very friendly with Nikki.
Yes, Nikki's a lovely, lovely friend, and all the bakers, and that special interpreter, I have to tell about him. Everybody's friendly, and they are lovely people. Bakers are amazingly talented. You can't believe how talented they are. And yes, they are a lovely bunch of people.
And the first season with Alison Hammond as host.
Oh yes, we loved her. We love her. And she's very caring as well. Funny, caring, very cheerful, lovely person to be around with. Yes, she made a difference.
Now, I always ask, when we ask all Bake Off contestants, if we were to pluck you from your season and pop you in another season, which would it have been?
That's a hard question. I really don't want to go any other season, just this one. Because the people are amazing and everything. I don't think I would love to go to any other. Just staying here with them.
Make sure you have some more. So we have had a few comments from listeners to Chat Bagley.
Uh-huh.
So excuse me while I get my phone out, but I have to read them for you.
Is that your dog?
Yes.
Oh, what's his name?
Harvey.
Harvey. Yes. Oh, how old is he?
He's 8 years old, yeah. And that was when we took him to the seaside. So he's holding a little bit of seaweed. In his mouth. Yeah, there we go. Right, let's have a look. Mm-hmm. So Anna's in Canada. What was Saku's favourite bake on Bake Off?
Oh, that's a hard question. I love all the bakes, but I quite like the vertical layer cake. That was my husband's favourite recipe. Favorite cake, so I quite like the vertical layer cake, and I like the Sri Lankan spiced tuna pie.
Ah, yes. Nice. You say it was your husband's favorite cake. Is it still your husband's favorite cake, bearing in mind how many times you'd have had to make it?
I know. Still, he loves the blueberry and lemon cake.
Okay. Yeah. Good. So we move from Canada to Alaska. Jerry says, does Saku make short eats? Now, I've looked at that. Short eats are snacks.
Yes.
And if so, which are her favorite?
I eat lots of short eats. I love that cardamom and cinnamon buns. It is delicious. Yes. That is my favorite. I don't know whether it is a snack, but for me, it is a snack.
Yes.
Yes, and what else? Devonshire splits I like. All these are not snacks, aren't they? They are just big bakes, tea time kind of stuff.
But if you had smaller bites of them, they wouldn't.
That's fine. It doesn't make any harm, yeah.
Now then, Louise, who's in the UK, says, yeah, we love Saku. She brought such joy to the bake-off tent.
So thank you very much.
Yeah. Lisa says, I'm so excited. My hubby and I watched and we were Saku fans. Please tell her Mike and Lisa in Ohio, USA, were sorry to see her go and we wish her all the best in life.
Thank you very much, Mike and Lisa. That means a lot to me. Yes, I really love their love and support. It's very heartwarming. Thank you very much.
Michelle is also in the States. Mm-hmm. Love watching her enthusiasm. I'd love to know what prompted her to apply and how many times did she practice each bake. Well, we've kind of touched on the why you applied, but how many times did you practice each bake?
Some bakes, endless times. Some just once. The jelly artwork, I practiced quite a lot. It was very hard, and that is the very first time I did jelly art, so I practiced a lot. The very first bake, that vertical layer cake, that was, I think, 3-4 times I practiced. Some, just like the pie, the tuna pie and all these, just once. Mm. Yeah.
But it must be so difficult because you've got a full-time job. You've then got to fit all this around. You must have been burning the midnight oil.
Oh, yes, it was really hard work. I worked till around 4:30 and then cook dinner. After dinner, do the cleaning and then start baking. So till early hours. There is a video around half two. I was throwing a very bad bake into the bin. And sometimes I have little naps by the oven. My kids photograph everything. Those are lovely memories, although hard work.
Back to some of the messages, and thank you ever so much to listeners of Chat Bagley for getting in touch. Yes, so Kathy has been in touch. Love Saku and the Great British Baking Show. Her energy and sweetness was enormous. Please send her love from Florida.
Thank you very much to love across the pond to Florida. Thank you.
You ever been to America?
No, never. Never been to America. Yes,
it's a vast country, but beautiful.
Beautiful. Oh, I would love to go there one day. We'll see what the future will bring.
Yes, yeah. Kathy, who's in Somerset in the UK, you were her favourite.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Thank you.
And Sarah got in touch with Lauren. They work together in Leinster, so not too far away from where we are. And both very excited and can't wait for this episode when you are on. So please say hello to Sarah and Lauren.
Hi, Sarah and Lauren. Thank you very much for your message. If you pop into Hereford, we may see you. Just let me know when you are coming to Hereford.
Well, to be honest, Saku, they're both very good hairdressers.
That's a very good one. Yes, but you know, I usually wear my long hair as a plait from age 16. I never change my hairstyle. But it is lovely to know them.
Is that due to religious reasons then, Shasta?
Not at all. It is my choice. And I don't wear makeup and I, you know, I think naturally I am beautiful. So why do I need the fashion? Yeah, I like wearing my hair as a plait, and my husband loves that way.
So if you let your plait go, how long's that hair?
It is up to my bottom.
Your bottom?
Yes. I had long hair up to my knees before my daughter was born after these feeding and everything. Yes, it's gone now. It's shorter now.
She'd have thought she'd been given birth through curtains with you. So isn't that lovely? Lots of messages.
It's beautiful when I'm receiving all these. It made my day. Yes, heartwarming and lovely. That feeling I don't know how to describe. Receiving the love and support, it's the most beautiful feeling. Thank you all.
Favorite part of Bake Off?
There is no such favorite part. Everything I loved. Mostly meeting all these lovely bakers and the interpreter, as well as I had the chance to take my flavors into the baking world, introduce Sri Lankan spices and Sri Lankan flavors into the world. That I am really kind of proud of.
Of course. Because we ask for favorite, we have to ask for the other side, the least favorite part of your experience.
Obviously, leaving the tent, leaving those lovely people. And I have to tell, the crew was lovely. They are very supportive. Everybody, I didn't have a single bad experience. Everything was lovely. And leaving the tent was the worst experience.
So you've left the tent, but you know you've practiced all the bakes throughout the series. Had you had your favourite week with regards to your bakes, or was there more to come? Was there a bake that we've not seen because you had to leave early?
Maybe one or two, but I did almost all kind of my favorite bakes, and just one or two, I think, not week wise, but few bakes. I quite like my spicy chicken sausage rolls, Sri Lankan spice chicken chicken sausage rolls, yes, and I didn't have the chance to bake that. What else? Rhubarb and custard financiers. I would love to make those. Those are the two things that I would love to. Yes.
You know what you need to do, Saku. It's coming up to Christmas. Get yourself a little stall in Hightown. Go on. Get yourself a stall and sell them.
Maybe not.
The lovely Saku from this year's Great British Bake Off, and feel sure she will join us again in the not too distant future. If you did watch this year's series, Nikki also doesn't live that far away from me and has agreed to chat with me for the podcast over a coffee very soon. So stay tuned for that. Just a quick one before I head off. We discussed suet a few weeks back with Kim from Mr. Bentley's World in New York. Kim, as we speak, is having a go at making a Christmas pudding, my family's Christmas pudding. But when it came to the ingredients, we stumbled on suet, as America don't have it. Well, funny enough, you know me and my love of old recipe books, I found a cookery book from 1931, and it's called The Recipe Book of Atoro, the Good Beef Suet. Well, Atoro is the brand name for it over here in the UK. Well, interestingly enough, I don't think they'll be able to do it now, but on the back page it says a tour has helped keep the Navy fit for over 20 years, largely used in the Army and has been supplied to all the polar expeditions, as well as improving the cooking of hundreds of thousands of British housewives. Right? And then, again, I don't think they'll be able to do this. Huge, great big capital letters, medical evidence. And it says here, a Dr. W.B. Vale, I want to say, V-A-I-L-E, medical officer in charge of a sanatorium, gives some striking testimony. I don't know why, but I want to do the old BBC voice. Testimony to the value of beef suet in a paper contributed to the Lancet. I promise I won't do that anymore. So it goes on about supplying babies and mums with this suet. In other words, the Torah is an essential to the mother as to the child. It should be included regularly in the diet, in dumplings and puddings. Well, that's fine, because I made a spotted dick earlier in the week with suet. And also taken directly in milk, in milk puddings and in porridge. Yeah. As always, you can get in touch via Shat Bagley's Facebook and Instagram pages, or you can email me, podcast@theshatbagley.co.uk. And please follow or subscribe to the podcast. Totally free, no funny business. The more followers we get, the more guests we can attract. And with that in mind, once again, thank you to Martin and Saku for joining me. So that's it for another week. Thank you for listening, and see you next time. Glenn, just making a cup of tea. Chop some suet in it.